Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 12. And as you're turning there, we're going to very briefly look at Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 15. The Word of God says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything. Circumcision avails nothing, and uncircumcision avails nothing, but a new creature." Now, circumcision was given as a physical marker that Israel belonged to God. But in Christ, the physical marker is meaningless. In other words, the things that I do on the external, the religious practices, the traditions, and so on, the things that I do perhaps to establish myself before God in some way, they don't avail anything. They don't actually produce anything. Whether a person was circumcised or not didn't produce anything for that person before God. Israel really had a difficult time with God, even though they practiced circumcision. And so these outward things don't produce anything. They simply are exercises of a sort. They had meaning when God gave them, but in and of themselves, apart from God's heart, apart from the value that God prescribed for them, according to His heart, according to what it was an indicator of, they had no meaning. But there is something that does avail something. There is the new creation. And I would like to take a little bit of time today to see what the new creation avails. Because the new creation is defined for us in this first portion of the passage, for in Christ. For in Christ. What does it mean that we are in Christ? And so we're going to talk about in Christ. Because in Christ is where we find the new creation. But not only is that where we find the new creation, this is also where we find the availing. That availing is extremely important, because that is what makes the new creation theology to be a practical reality. But not just a practical reality to the way that I think, a practical reality to all the components of my life, to the full extent of what it means to be new creation. Now in Romans 8:29, the Word of God tells us that for whom He did foreknow, He also predestinated. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. It's this new creation availing that conforms us to the image of His Son. And in Christianity, we have a certain grasp on that. It's sometimes a little more superficial and sometimes a little more profound. But really, it's an all-encompassing reality for the believer. It's something that affects them body, mind, and soul. We often think of it as soul. And sometimes we say, okay, mind and soul. But no, it's body, mind, and soul. Because we are trichotomous in nature, if we are born again. And so all parts of that trichotomy, the mind is part of soul, but what I'm talking about is the human spirit, human soul, and the human body are all affected by this new creation component. Now the mind and the human spirit work together. The mind is a part of the soul, but it's the part of the soul that connects me to the human spirit, that connects those things. And not only is it that the mind connects me to the spirit, the human spirit is what connects me to the Holy Spirit. And so what we have here is a very profound, very important effect, availing, that takes place in Christ toward the new creation. The way that it does not happen is through some sort of an outward performance, some sort of outward merit, some sort of outward marking, some sort of outward anything. That avails nothing. In other words, it doesn't affect my mind, it doesn't affect my spirit, it doesn't affect my soul, it only affects my body only in a very restricted and limited way, perhaps. But really, it's meaningless. And so, we're going to look at a little bit of what this means. Now, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Word of God says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now the word conform there, be not conformed, is me sunekmatiste. It's a present passive imperative. Now present tense means that is an ongoing action. The passive voice means that the subject receives the action of the verb. The imperative mood indicates that this is a dogmatic command. Now, it's not a dogmatic command to produce something. It's a dogmatic command to have something produced in you. It's not a dogmatic command to do something. It's a dogmatic command to receive something. And in this particular case, not to receive it and not to have it be produced in you. The meaning of the word there is stop being fashioned, or do not have the habit of being fashioned. To conform one's inner nature and not only the outer form. So what he's saying here is stop being fashioned both outwardly and inwardly to the world. To the world system. To the world mores. To the world standards. To the world's cultures. Stop being fashioned to these things. Because if you receive these things, they will change you. They will affect you. And the change will be both body, mind, spirit. It'll encompass all three aspects of who you are. It will affect the soul. And what he's saying is, stop receiving these things that conform you, that morph you, if you will, to what the world is. The world works on this premise. It goes for the mind, for the thinking. Because if the world can go for the thinking, then it can transform everything about you. If the world goes for your thinking, and you receive the thinking of the world into your mind, then it will affect things like your emotions. Your emotions respond to the perceptions of your mind. And so if you receive worldly thinking, then the emotions will respond to the worldly perceptions of the mind. And this is where sometimes you have things like overwhelming urges come in. Desires that are ungodly. Lifestyles that are ungodly. All this different stuff that the world does, whether it's beneficial or not beneficial for that matter. Remember, the tree of knowledge of good and evil had those two sides to it, good and evil. And so even that which may appear good outwardly sometimes is not, because it's a part of the same system. And we see this all around us. He's saying, don't be conform to that. Don't be formed by that. When that enters the mind, it will also obviously affect my choices, my volition. It will affect my image, my consciousness and my conscience, my self-consciousness. My self-image will be changed by it. But not only that. It will also affect who I am physically. You see, that thing about genetics is inseparable from new creation. Now, we are born, each of us obviously, with a full set of DNA. Every normal human being, unless they have some form of condition of some kind that's unusual, has those 46 chromosomes and those 23 pairs. But that's only part of the story. And it is important for us to understand this, because if we don't understand this, then we won't fully grasp what it means to be in the world, but also we won't fully grasp what it means to be new creation. Sometimes you look at people and you say, how can you be so worldly? Like, what is it about you that, why are you so, or maybe sometimes people, how is that person like this? They're like this godly person. They're relaxed in it, not striving. It's just who they are. And that's because either they were fully transformed, all of us who were in the world were fully transformed to the world, or we are fully transformed to Christ. Now, everyone in the world that I have ever met was fully transformed to the world. Not every believer is fully conformed to the new creation. Not every believer receives or experiences that full transformation where they become the image of God's Son. It starts with the mind. When I receive something, let's say that I look at a program and it's not godly. There's a lot of suggestive television out there, for example, suggestive movies, suggestive music. I look at these things. This is why we don't listen to so-called Christian rock, as if that wasn't a serious oxymoron. We don't listen to this. Why? Because it permeates the flesh. It energizes the flesh, the old sin nature. The old sin nature affects the mind. And the things that I've seen, the things that I've heard that are ungodly, although they're not necessarily directly related to each other, can be energized by things like ungodly music, even if it wants to call itself Christian. By the way, I can call myself the Pope all I like. It doesn't make a hill of beans a difference. Rock is not Christian. You can put the label on it if you like, but it doesn't matter. Okay, you can call it what you want. It is what it is. Okay. So, it's like you can call fertilizer a rose, but it's still going to be fertilizer. And so, we don't go there. This is why. Because it energizes the flesh, it affects the mind. If it affects the mind, it transforms who I am. The things that the mind takes in, the perceptions that I have, the energizations that I have, the experiences that I have, will not affect my DNA per se directly. What they will do is affect the things that control the DNA, the epigenome. That epigenome regulates how my DNA is turned on and off and when it expresses what it expresses. It is the software to the DNA hardware. And so, if I'm receiving worldly things, my epigenome will start turning things on and off in a certain way. Years ago, I was talking to a professor at Loyola University, and she was an expert in human development. And she was commenting how it seems that girls are reaching physical maturity at earlier and earlier ages. And she wasn't sure why that was taking place. She wasn't a biologist, she was a psychologist, I believe. And she was commenting about why this is taking place, and she didn't know the answer. Well, the answer is because at an earlier and earlier age, young people are being exposed to suggestive movies, suggestive music, suggestive television programming. And they are seeing things that really they don't have the capacity to see, but even more, that still penetrate the brain and the mind and the thinking and the consciousness. Their body is responding to it because of the epigenome. This is not a universal condition. There are places in the world where they are much more strict regarding these things. I don't agree with everything in those places, but this is one area where it is benefiting them. They are much more strict, let's say, regarding this, suggestive television programming. And young people there, like early teens, preteens, early teens, are not developing sexually as quickly. And the reason is because the epigenome hasn't been affected by these things that would cause them to develop in this way. So for these young people, those genes are being turned on earlier in life than they used to be. And the effect is often detrimental, because they can't handle what comes with it. And so you have this epigenome, and the world has a distinct impact on it, and it changes us physically, the impact of the world. This can happen to a believer also. This is one of the reasons, and these things are profound. Let's say you have a believer who for some reason all of a sudden starts watching suggestive movies, and all of a sudden they start getting lustful thoughts, and their body starts driving them towards these things. Well, there's a reason for that. Not only has it become a part of their frame of reference in their thinking, it's also affecting their genetics, in that it affects, changes the epigenome. The epigenome is pliable, it's plastic. In other words, it changes as we go through our lives. It can change one direction or it can change another direction. The thing is also that the epigenome is passed on to future generations. And so we can have somebody who's got a certain thing going on in their life, and they actually pass it on to their children. And this can be a serious problem, because they've passed on an epigenome that's turning genes on and off in a way that they may not have been intended to turn on and off. And so we are not transformed to the world. We don't get transformed to the world. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. The word transformed there is metamorphoste. And it's the present passive imperative also. The first one was a negative imperative. It said, do not allow this to happen to you. The second one is, allow this to happen to you. And it means to be transfigured by radical change in the inner man. That's a full definition of that. To be transfigured by radical change in the inner man, by the renewing of your mind. And that renewing of your mind is te anakeinose taunus. It's the instrumental case. That means that this is the way that it happens. This is what causes the effect. That's the new birth, the new mind, and the new man. That's what it's referring to. It's talking about the new birth, the new mind, and the new man. And so what I have here, in the renewing of my mind, I experience the new birth, the new mind, and the new man. And this is, in fact, the fullness of the new creation. When, as a new creature, I experience a new birth, a new mind, and a new man. A new birth is, I am dead to the world and alive unto Christ. This will only come in its full effect if I am dead to the world and alive unto Christ. And we are told that this is the case in Galatians 2:20, that we are indeed crucified with Christ, we are dead to the world. Nevertheless we live, yet not us, but Christ who lives in us. We are alive unto Christ. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God. I live by His faith. Why? Because it's His life. And so I get this new thing going on that was not present necessarily before. I become, in 1 John 3:1, a son of God. And this son of God, that condition that I have is by the love that's bestowed upon me. Now, what does this mean in a practical sense? That as I have a new birth, I'm dead to the world, alive unto God, I develop a new mind. A new mind that is rooted by the transforming of my mind. And the love of God, the character of God, and the Word of God do the transforming. The faith of God is energized by the love of God. And so the love of God is really what energizes me to receive the Word of God so that I can have a transformation of that mind. I receive the Word of God, but the love of God is what energizes the faith that I mix with the Word of God. So the character of God is an integral portion of becoming, in its fullness, the new creation in all of its expression. And so, I renew the mind through a new birth, new mind, and a new man. And that is the progression. Now, in Romans 8 and verse 11, the Spirit quickens our mortal body. He dwells in us and He quickens our mortal body. What does that mean? He changes it. A lot of people think, well, I'm tired and I'm going to be energized, quickened by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, He can do that too. But it's so much more than that. He literally transforms my mortal body. How? Through a new birth, a new mind leading to a new man. That is the way that I become the fullness of the new creation. In other words, I live in the Matthew 4:4 life where I don't live by the externals, I don't live by the temporal, I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, every word that the Holy Spirit imparts to me for my life. As I do this, understanding, receiving, accepting the character of God, accepting the fact, and by the way, this one is hard sometimes for people to accept, but we need to humble ourselves and actually accept it, not elevating ourselves, but humbling ourselves to what God says. We have to accept the fact that He loves us. And we have to accept the fact that He loves us in our state as we are. We have to accept the fact that He loves us in any state that we find ourselves. That it is unchanging and unyielding. We have to accept this. Because if I don't accept this, I will not fully be able to accept His Word either. And it's His Word that the Holy Spirit utilizes to transform me into the new man. And so it is imperative that I accept that I am loved by God. It's imperative that I accept that there is no condemnation. It's imperative that I accept His kindness toward me. It's imperative that I accept the mercy of God toward myself. Some people live in a situation where people are not kind or are not merciful. But God is not like that. God is kind and God is merciful. We have to accept the forgiveness of God if we're going to experience the fullness of the new creation. Not just for our positional truth, not just for the way we think, but for who we are physically also. And so, the Spirit quickens our mortal body. What happens is that the Word of God, as it's energized by the love of God, applied by the Holy Spirit to my heart, gives me a brand new frame of reference. It's not something I strive into. It's not something that I try to do. It's not something that comes through any kind of effort at all. It is a passive voice. It is something that is produced in me as I receive the Word of God, mixing faith with what I hear, having that faith quickened by the fact that He loves me. When that takes place, the Holy Spirit establishes the Word of God as my frame of reference. It becomes the foundation of all my thinking. As it becomes the foundation for all my thinking, it affects not only the way I think, but also it affects my epigenome. It starts to change the way that my DNA is expressed. It starts to change how genes are turned on and off. Which genes are turned on and off, and when they're turned on and off. This is very important. Because I can be very much two different people. Within my DNA is an old sin nature. But yet within my DNA is who God created me to be. And so, what's going to be turned on and what's going to be turned off will largely be determined by the epigenome, which is malleable, and it is affected by what I'm taking in. So if I am conformed to the world, I'm taking in the things of the world, the epigenome starts turning on those portions of my DNA that are affecting the old sin nature, that are releasing and enhancing the old sin nature. On the other hand, if I'm being conformed to the image of God's Son, the epigenome is turning on and off those genes that promote who I am as God created me to be. Let me give you an example. If I am conformed to the world, and we don't often think of this as being conformed to the world, but if I am conformed to the world, then I may experience a great deal of stress because I think like the world thinks. I don't think with the mind of Christ. On the other hand, if I think with faith rest toward the promises of God, I'm not going to have a lot of stress in my life. If I have a lot of stress in my life, the DNA is going to be producing a lot of stress hormones. Why? Because the epigenome is being turned on and off in such a way that stress hormones are being produced. On the other hand, if I'm a person who lives in faith rest, through faith response to the promises of God, knowing that He loves me, allowing me to live in that faith, if that is the condition of my mind, then those stress hormones will not be turned on. When those genes that produce those stress hormones remain turned off, it has a very real physical consequence for my body. A lot of people age much faster because of what they take in, or much slower than what they take in. A lot of people develop physical ailments because of what they take into their mind, or they have good health because of what they take into their mind. That has a profound impact. As I take in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit establishes it as my frame of reference, and that which I am thinking, that which I'm fellowshipping with, ultimately, because all experience is a question of perception, that which I experience will also change that which I am in the physical realm as well as before God. That perception part is key. What is a trial? What is not? It depends on my perception. What is difficult, what is not? It depends on my perception. What is painful, what is not? It depends on my perception. We know that our perception is everything. What is a sound? A sound doesn't actually exist. It's an interpretation of the brain. What does exist is these particles, these atoms in the air colliding, the molecules colliding against each other in a certain pattern, and as they collide against each other, they eventually collide against the tympanic membrane in the ear. That tympanic membrane then sends little waves through this fluid in the inner ear that's picked up by these little hair cells. These little hair cells, as they sway back and forth, produce a neural impulse in the cochlear nerve, which then sends the impulse to the brain. Sound does not exist. The brain will then interpret that in a certain way. The same thing with everything else. Light does not exist in that respect. I mean, certainly photons exist. I'm not trying to suggest they don't. But really, there's nothing that we can see per se. But the brain interprets these signals that are sent to the rods and cones in the back of the eye. They're translated into impulses that are sent through the optic nerve, and the brain interprets those impulses. But unless the brain is doing the interpreting, there is no perception. Perception is determined by what I take in. What I take in will therefore determine my experience. My thinking and my experience will then determine the condition of my epigenome. The epigenome determines which portions of the DNA are turned on and off and when. That will change who I am. So we have a change that is both mental and physical. And because it has to do with perception, the other parts of my soul, the other four parts, will respond to that perception. It changes me in my entirety. People sometimes are careless about what they allow in, not understanding that it utterly transforms them. Not only their thinking, but their soul. Not only their soul, but their body as well. It transforms them. This is why in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Word of God says that in Christ we are new creatures. That the old has passed away and everything has become new. Why? Quite true. As a person experiences a cross in their lives, and the worldly things are set aside, put away, cast away, they become the physical manifestation in its entirety of what it means to be a new creature. Remember, as that DNA, those genes are being turned on and off selectively by the epigenome, cells are reproducing. Billions of cells every hour are replaced. And now there's a new epigenome turning on DNA in a new fashion. Those cells are made new. So the old that was is no more. But the new that is what I become. Not only in soul, but in mind. Not only in mind, but in body. And so I am in my entirety a new creature. The saddest thing I can think of is believers who are doing great with God, and for some strange reason, and it's usually demonically influenced, they go back to worldly thinking. They go back to worldly ways, not recognizing that it's going to transform them again. Back into the worldly. Or out of what it means to be the new creature, in a very real way. Back to what it means to be of the world. Young people do this all the time. They start listening to trash. They go to college and start being surrounded by bad influences, worldly influences, and they receive them because, after all, it's a professor. It's a professor who's going to hell unless they're saved. People start getting into these flirty type sexual situations, and they don't realize that they're changing who they are back into the worldly. People start listening and looking at things they ought not to, and they start changing back into the worldly. they start being surround themselves by the crowd, let's say that watches nasty television or movies, and they sit and watch for a while, and they don't realize that it changes them physically, mentally, and spiritually back to the worldly. The epigenome is powerful, but it is malleable. And then it is inheritable. You may have a person who is in the world with worldly influences, worldly thinking, worldly life, and worldly body. And that person starts receiving the word. And when they receive the word, it transforms them into the fullness of the new creature. And they are transformed. On the other hand, you may have a person who grew up with the Word of God, but through familiarity or whatever other influence, sometimes by putting themselves in the wrong situations, sometimes by surrounding themselves with the wrong people, sometimes by taking on the wrong habits, sometimes by exposing themselves to the wrong input, they become, in their spirit, in their soul, in their mind, in their body, like the world, and it is inheritable. And so their children become like that also. And their children's children become like that also. And their children's children are like that also. Until the word comes back in and transforms into the fullness of the new creature. Be careful about what you allow from things like lust patterns. And I'm not saying live in paranoia regarding your lust patterns. That's not how we avoid them. We avoid them by having a transformed mind through the renewing of the Spirit. The Word of God in Ephesians 4:23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that's the human spirit, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. But people sometimes do not live in the renewing of their mind. Christians will sometimes live in the old patterns of thinking. I see this very frequently with young people. They start flirting with things that are dangerous and they don't have a clue as to the significance of the impact that is on their life. Sometimes they'll flirt with alcohol. Sometimes they'll flirt with the opposite gender. Sometimes they'll flirt with drugs. Sometimes they'll flirt with worldly music. Sometimes they'll flirt with worldly ways or worldly thinking or worldly clothes, not understanding that it is changing their soul, changing their mind, and changing their body. And their children will inherit those changes. Now, that is, of course, reversible when we take in the Word of God. When we allow the Word of God to transform us to the new creature. But here's the thing. We have to guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. In other words, what I allow in my heart and what I entertain in my thoughts, what I, even because I've entertained it enough, start to subtly even perhaps practice, is not as innocent or harmless as it may seem on the surface, because it can change you all the way down to your physical makeup. This is why when people start to flirt with certain sins, or they entertain them in their minds, it's a dangerous, slippery slope. They think as long as I'm entertaining them in my mind, I won't touch them, but you don't understand. You've changed yourself physically. You won't have the choice. Your body will be compelled to do it by the way that your DNA is being turned on and off. So we guard our hearts with all diligence. We stay renewed in the spirit of our mind. We don't put down a cross. We cling to the cross. Because the cross is our life. We don't entertain things that we ought not entertain. We definitely, if now a lot of people slip here and there, and that's not to condemn them. The moment that you slip, you fail, you just confess it to God and it is done with. However, once you start practicing a little bit of that entertainment, you've also brought your physiological responses into it. We don't go there. We stay renewed in our minds. We stay renewed in our minds. We stay renewed in our minds. I'm not saying that as people we don't consider things. I'm saying we stay renewed in our minds. I'm not saying that we stop thinking. I'm saying that we stay renewed in our minds. That we constantly get that impact and that influx and its impact from the Word of God. It's not through striving or asceticism, it's through a renewed mind that's producing a new frame of reference, which is churning me into the fullness of a new creature. And as I enter into that, I get that life of the Son of God. I become conformed to the image of His Son because it was the same Spirit that entered Christ that lives in me. It was the same Word of God that became flesh that I receive, that renews my mind. And I become the fullness of what it means to be a new creature in Christ. And when I have that, it transforms me in every way imaginable. Not just theological, not just thinking, but all the way down to who I am physically. I become a new creature through the mind of Christ in me. Amen.